Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grootnibbelink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero-G Draft Strategy, and in this podcast, Blake and I are going to give you all the best streamers and ad options for next week so you can start planning early. Let's get it. And of course, I have your friend and my best friend, the man with the Beamer, Blake Creamer, here with me. Blake, how are we feeling? And have you ever actually owned a BMW in your lifetime?
No. You know, I'm more of a Suzuki Swift kind of guy. You know what I mean? A little hot hatch. Right. Yeah. Little jelly bean driving it down the road. That's where I'm at. All right. Oh, God. You just threw me big time, Nate. I don't know what I'm doing here, but buddy, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We can see the light shining off that championship trophy. It's shining directly in our faces and all our listeners. We are going to get those chips. We're there. It's playoffs next week for some people. My God. So I'm very excited about this. I'm jacked up and I'm ready to get into this with you.
Yeah, I'm getting there too. Got lots of playoffs heading my way next week as well. Actually, all of my leagues are week 23 through 25 playoffs, all my redraft. So yeah, all my playoffs start next week. So I'm pretty pumped to get that going. And it's got some nail biters shaping up as well in terms of finding some buys and stuff like that. So yep. I'm right there in it with everybody that's listening at this moment. And we know like the numbers tend to go down a little bit this time of year. We know that the people that are listening now, they're all about it. They're into the weeds with all of this and they're bringing home chips. So if that's you, welcome on in. Blake, why don't you welcome these fine people in with some newsies?
Newsies! Yeah, this is what we need, all right, to crush our opponents and hurt their feelings because that's what we care about. All right. Starting in Anaheim, Leo Carlson, he's tooting in all our faces. He's missing another game here with a concussion. So, I mean, that's a legit injury. So, you know, rest up, Leo Carlson. But yeah, we thought he'd get in on Thursday. That didn't happen. He wasn't able to play tonight. So his next chance to play will be Sunday. So keep an eye on that. The Ducks are hurting right now. Radko Gudas, that bearded beauty. He was out as well today with an upper body injury. He's considered him day-to-day. Mason McTavish was a late scratch as well for the ailing Ducks. What is a duck? What is
Nobody knows. Nobody God, knows. It's unfathomable.
Who put this on earth? All right. Like who, you know, put all the paint on the canvas and they just mix those colors and they're like, boom, there's a duck right there. Like what? Why? I don't know. We can get into that in another pod. Let's move on. We got to talk about the Red Wings and Dylan Larkin. It's looking like he is going to return next week. So that's great news for these guys. They're currently in a free fall in the standings, which is brutal. Just the most unfortunate time for them. We will talk about Detroit's schedule a little bit today, but definitely get a plan in place. Detroit's first game is on Tuesday. So if he's back, you got to get a plan in place, what you're going to do, who you're going to drop. Just think about that while you're planning your week. All right. But the Wings, what is going on? It's pretty rough stuff. They have yet to win a game in March, Nate. Like, you have any take on what's going on with the Wings, or are they just, you know, they're running out of gas here or what?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this a little bit with Larkin being out. Like, I really do think he's that big of a piece for the Wings that when he's out, kind of everything they have kind of falls apart a little bit. It's just so hard to win without good center depth and like play driving centers. And Larkin is all that for the Red Wings. And when he's out, they just have nothing left. So yeah, I kind of feel like it is pretty tied to Larkin. I think there's obviously a few players who are also underperforming, but I think when you remove the straw that stirs the drink, then this is what you get.
Larkin is all of that and a bag of chips. All right. And he's resting up, but hopefully he gets back in next week and starts crushing for his fantasy managers. All right. Next up, we got to talk about the Vilardi party. Gabe Vilardi, he's not having a party. He's got an issue with his spleen. All right. That's the opposite of a party. So that sucks for him. Hopefully, you know, it's a very kind of mysterious situation with Vilardi. We don't have a ton of information. That spleen information was gleaned by doing other diagnostics for something. So I don't know what the heck is going on with Vilardi, but you know, anytime you hear something like that, it's probably going to be a while before we see him back in action. So we need to wait to hear more, but I mean, this guy could be a drop, honestly. If you don't have IR spots available, we can't take zeros with Gabe Vilardi. So, you know, thank you for your service, my man. It might be time to move on. With him out, Alex Iafallo is getting the even strength time on ice on line one instead of Ehlers, of course. And Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli get power play one, while the sad trombone, I'm changing Nick Ehlers' nickname to the sad trombone, all right? He toils away on power play two as usual. And then, of course, the Jets just smashed tonight to get a shutout and all that. So, yeah, any take on the Jets here whatsoever before we move on, Nate?
Yeah, not too much. I think there are some interesting options there. I like Vilardi when he plays, but this could be a little bit longer term issue. But yeah, definitely once they added Toffoli, it really gave them a couple of lines and kind of opened up the streaming options a little bit more. It makes you feel a little bit better about hanging on to Ehlers, actually. And
yeah,
and he's been producing a little bit more with having some actual line mates. Even though he's playing down the lineup, he's actually got somebody to bounce pucks off of now. So.
Love it. Blah, 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 blah. Right, that's a sad trombone. All right, we'll get a sound effect in there later in post. Okay. Arturi Lehkonen for the Avalanche should play on Saturday. He was out with an illness that caused him to miss two games right in the middle of a really crucial week for me personally that I needed Lehkonen to pop off, and he's not, so that sucks. But he should be back on Saturday as per the head coach Bednar. And then Jonathan Drouin is dealing with a lower body injury. Zach Parise is out as well, but they're both game time decisions possible to play on Saturday as well. So check the lineups, make a plan, and they should be valued in that order. Obviously, I think Lehkonen should get power play one when he comes back, and I think that Drouin's probably going to get bounced. So with Lehkonen, we ride. All right. Let's move on. We got to talk about Jake Joel Eriksson Ek. He's out with a lower body injury. He's not traveling with the team. He's missed a couple games here. So he's not traveling with them to St. Louis for the next game, but he may be able to join the team in Anaheim. They have a back-to-back in California there. So in his stead, Ryan Hartman is the clear winner with line one power play one deployment. You know, it's nice. I think he played like 19 minutes last game. He's doing stuff. He's a great streamer if you're going to go with a Minnesota Wild player. Nate, what the hell are you smirking at, buddy? Come on, what's happening? You got something to say? You got something going on there?
No, it's just funny how this thing goes around. Like Ryan Hartman, we've been in on Ryan Hartman, we've been out on Ryan Hartman, we've been in on Ryan Hartman again. I mean, I have the same takeaway. Line one, power play one, he's playing great. I've been touting him in my daily Twitter posts for players to watch. He's been popping off under the hood too, so Ryan Hartman, go get him.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great data point, which we already knew, right? Like center goes out, someone on the top line goes down. Ryan Hartman, go pick up Ryan Hartman. All right. So there you go. Over to Florida, Sam Bennett Dyson. He's day to day with an undisclosed injury. Amazing reporting there. I mean, it's undisclosed. Can't you just tell us what the injury is? What is this? It's like Unsolved Mysteries. You ever watch Unsolved Mysteries, Nate?
Yep.
Okay, sweet. All right. I thought that was a little before your time. So you must have, you must have had a really awesome childhood if you're watching Unsolved Mysteries at age two. All right. I appreciate that. But anyways, check out Sam Bennett's status there. I think it was Lundell moving up to line two there with the Panthers to play with Matty Tkachuk. So there you go. In Dallas, Tyler Seguin could be back next week for the Stars. So that's great news. You would probably slot back into that second line, that incendiary second line with Duchesne and Mason Marchment, most likely. So yeah, they got three lines just doing the thing. I don't know what the hell's going on in Dallas. So yeah, it's a nice situation. You think, Eric, you interested at all in Seguin when he comes back here, Nate?
Yeah, I'd like to see it before I invest everything in it. But if he's back, then it's a decent spot. And in a week where it's kind of tough to find some people, Seguin would definitely make some sense.
Yep, absolutely. And then over to Toronto, Mitch Marner, another one of those guys that I really, really needed this week. And he doesn't give a damn about my fantasy hockey team. He's nursing an ankle injury there. So it's kept him out of two games so far. It's going to keep him out of Saturday's game as well. You know, I didn't check, but what are they doing on the Leafs power play, Nate? With Marner out, because I know Yarncroc is injured as well now, and he was playing some power play one. What's the latest?
Yeah, it's just been Bertuzzi in that spot, basically. So Tavares, Nylander, Bertuzzi, Matthews, and then Riley on the back end. So
didn't they have Liljegren up there at one point? Like doing a two defenseman situation?
Not really. They've toyed with various things, but yeah, that's probably just a spot where they were in between taking two guys off and they wanted to have a couple defensemen out. Sometimes the Leafs can be a little bit careless on the power play in terms of giving up shorthanded chances. So,
oh no,
there's that as well.
All right, well, there you go. Shout out to Timothy Lilgren. Timothy, is that his first name? Now I'm questioning myself.
Jimothy,
whatever. Yes. You know what? Even better. Last thing here, Barrett Hayton. He's out for the foreseeable future for the Arizona Coyotes. What a garbage season for this guy. Super unlucky. I mean, there was a lot of promise going in after what he was able to do last third of last season. But yeah, we'll have to wait for one more year to see Hayton really pop. So that sucks. But Coach Tarini says it's not a day-to-day thing. No timeline given there. Nick, the Jug Bjugstad, he's looking pretty darn good. He's putting some points on the board. Big time on ice as well. Two games with over 20 minutes. Could do worse as a streamer if you're going to go with a Coyote. That's my two cents on that. Nate, why don't you talk to us about what's going on here in the upcoming week?
Yeah, so we got a pretty interesting week. A little bit unorthodox coming up for week 23. On Monday, we got two games. Tuesday, 13 games. Wednesday, 3 games. Thursday, 11 games. Friday, 4 games. Saturday, 11 games. And then on Sunday, we've got an additional heavy night with 10 games. So in total, that's 54 games played. It's on the higher end, but it's still what I would categorize as a normal week. This is where it gets a little weird. We've only got one team with a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back to open the week. That's Buffalo. We've only got one team with a Monday, Wednesday to open the week, and that's Washington. We got three teams with a Wednesday, Friday off nights. In the middle of the week, we got Arizona, Dallas, and Washington there. And then we do have seven teams with Friday, Sunday, but as I mentioned, Sunday's not really an off night. It's a 10-game, not quite so heavy night. So there's at least a decent chance that you'll be able to stream some people for the Friday Sunday. But those seven teams are Arizona, Carolina, Colorado, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Washington. It's definitely going to feel heavy, especially in the early going with the 2-game Monday into a 13-game Tuesday into a 3-game Wednesday. But the rest of the week from Thursday onward, the heaviest night is 11 games. So there's a pretty solid chance that you actually have some room on maybe even all of the heavy nights. So definitely you need to check into your lineups for the back end of the week specifically and try to figure out what you need to do there. You may be able to, yeah, use a stream from a team that has all heavy nights, and that might work out just as well for you, depending. So definitely check into your lineup, see where you're going to be benching people, and see if you can make use of the lighter heavy nights this week. Any thoughts on the schedule here, Blake, before we go into worst teams?
Yeah, no, I think you said it best. It is going to be stinky, though. I hate these off nights, like two games, three games in a playoff week. Damn. Yeah. I mean, we knew this was coming, but this could hurt, right? So hopefully you set yourself up with some of the strategies we've talked about.
For sure. And hopefully you're like me and you have a bye and you don't have to worry. Yeah.
I got two byes. I am so stoked I don't have to do this crap.
For sure. All right. Why don't you take us in to the worst teams to stream, teams that we might be dropping some pretty big names from.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So we do have, there's no one who has like a real bad schedule this week, right? We've got 12 teams that have three games and zero off nights. That's about as bad as it gets. So what that does mean though, is, you know, we're going to be looking at players who are on the outside looking in, right? Good players that are being benched on these busy nights. So what Nate and I thought we'd do here is go through all 12 teams. What I'll do, Nate, is I'll give you just a couple names from each team and you tell me what you're doing with them. Does that sound like a plan? All right.
Let's do it.
So those teams right off the bat, Anaheim, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Florida, Montreal, Nashville, New York Rangers, San Jose Sharks, St. Louis Blues, Vancouver Canucks, and the Vegas Golden Knights. Those are your teams that play on three games with zero off nights. Let's start in Anaheim, and we got to talk about, Frank the Tank Vetrano and Troy Terry, right? Like these... And they're not exactly bubble players per se, but I mean, in a busy week, they're not going to be making your lineup. So how comfortable are you holding on to Frank Vetrano and Troy Terry, Nate?
I'm not super comfortable with either of them, to be honest. Like, if they are going to be not getting into your lineup a whole lot this upcoming week, then you look ahead to the week after that. So you say you make it through, even though you just held them on your bench and they didn't really do anything for you. That roster spot was just kind of a waste for the week. Then you get into the next week, which is pretty polarized, just looking ahead in terms of the very light off nights and very heavy on nights, or heavy nights, I should say. And the Ducks start that week with all heavy nights until they finally hit a Sunday off night at the end of the week. So, like, for me, I'd be willing to drop either of these guys if they're towards the bottom of my lineup and I'm not sure I'm going to be starting them. I'm fully comfortable with dropping those guys if that's my position going into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, just a disclaimer here as well. We're not saying you have to drop these guys. All right. That's really important. We're not saying, like, Apples and Geno said, drop Frank Vatrano and Troy Terry. No. All right. But these guys can be dropped. And that's kind of how we're going to be approaching it moving forward here. All right. Moving up to Boston. We got to talk about the Coiler. Oh, he's filling the bowl. Oh, what did you eat for dinner, buddy? Charlie Coyle. All right. This one is an easy one for me. I think Coyle can easily be dropped. He's not going to be making your lineups on these busy nights. Any thoughts on Charlie Coyle there, Nate?
Yeah, I literally just added him to the list so you'd do that bit. So, yeah, you can drop
Oh,
Charlie Coyle.
you set him up. I'll knock him down, buddy. What a team. What a freaking team. That's called synergy, people. All right. Let's move on to Chicago. I mean, damn. There was a time this year, like probably about a month ago, I was looking ahead and I was talking to a listener about Bedard. Right. And I wasn't saying drop Bedard, but I was kind of including him in this conversation. You know what I mean? I was like, well, I mean, is he going to get in? Right. Like, they're playing terribly. They're not getting goals. Right. But then, of course, yeah, this guy's just, now he's making it. So there's zero chance you're going to be dropping Connor Bedard, obviously. Right. And I love it. I'm here for that. But that does make our decision easier. For Chicago, really, the only other viable guy that you're thinking about maybe holding on to is Seth Jones. Right. And this one is a little bit interesting because Jones has been popping off lately. So, what are you doing with Seth Jones moving forward here with this, newfound offense that he has?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to hang on to Seth Jones. As crazy as it sounds, like, Chicago doesn't have a great schedule, but like next week they've got LA, Anaheim, and San Jose. The following week they don't have a good schedule again. They're on the heavy nights again, but it's Calgary, it's Ottawa, it's Philadelphia. None of those are scary to play against, even for a team like Chicago. Seth Jones has 7 points his last five games. He's first amongst all defensemen in shots per 60, third individual scoring chances four per 60, fifth Corsi four per 60, eighth scoring chances four per 60 on Chicago. This
What the hell?
is Seth Jones absolutely popping off, and I'm not interested in dropping somebody that hot, so I'm hanging on to Seth Jones. And honestly, like, there's a lot of big names that I'd be playing him over. Like, I would play him over Erik Karlsson right now.
Love that. Yeah, that's so valid, right? Like, that's why we do the last five games here, folks, right? Like, he's number one amongst defensemen in shots and goals per 60 in five games. Chicago, Seth Jones. What the? Oh my God. Yeah. So, and Erik Karlsson's on power play too in stinky Pittsburgh. So, yeah, that is not even a hot take. I also want to shout out Josh Hutchinson here. The man at the beginning of the season talked about Seth Jones being a low key target. I mean, Seth Jones is still on a 39 point pace, but this is it, Joshy. This is what we waited for. All right. He's popping off. Josh took a little bit of heat for just saying that Jones might be good. Right. So, Josh, you're a legend and you called it, buddy. Here we go. All right, let's move on. Detroit. All right, now we're talking some players. I talked a little bit about these on my playoff primer, but I'm really glad to get your take on some of these players here. We are looking at Alex the Cat DeBrincat, Patty, what was I going to say? Patty Cake, Patty Kane, Mo Sider, and Shane Gostisbehere. So again, are these players making your roster on the busy nights? Are they making your roster, Nate?
It's gonna be tough. Like, DeBrincat has had such a weird season, and like, even in this five game stretch with one assist, he's still 22nd in the league in individual scoring chances four per 60. So like, the chances are there, but he's just been wildly inefficient relative to his past. And the other thing is, like, I think we all remember there was that one season where Alex DeBrincat just couldn't score for no apparent reason. He shot, like, I forget what it was, like 8% or something crazy like that. And every other season till this point, he'd shot like 16, 17, 18%. And now this year, here we are again, 12.6%. The season's almost done. Here's Alex DeBrincat just totally unable to score again. And so that's really putting me in a bind with DeBrincat specifically. If he's someone that you're like worried about starting, then I can see it, quite honestly, like in a fair number of leagues, a fair number of setups. Maybe not anything deeper than like a standard 12 team, but in some of those 12 teams, like there possibly could be a scenario I can see. Like if you are one of these good teams, right, and you're trying to set yourself up, like week 20, like I'll paint this scenario, right? You're one of these teams with a bye for next week. You're not playing next week, but you're looking ahead even going into week 24, and you're seeing how terrible it is in terms of off nights, and you're trying to set yourself up there. Wings again, 3 games, 0 off nights in that week. They play Carolina, they play Florida that week. It's hard to envision a ton of offense against those good teams. Maybe DeBrincat is the guy that you drop to set yourself up for that week with a bunch of streamers that are actually going to play games for you. If DeBrincat is the last guy out, like I can see it. It's not something I'm trying to do, but like it's something I can see. He's right there on the edge. And I would say the same for Kane. I would say the same for Mo Sider. Like I think my level of disdain for Mo Sider and fantasy, his fantasy prowess has been widely documented at this point, 42 point pace now. Yep. I was told he was going to go for 60 this year. I have not forgotten. Shane Gostisbehere.
He's got the receipts, everybody.
Shane Gostisbehere has actually scored some points, but again, it's like an 18-minute defenseman. Yeah, he's on power play one. He could very easily go cold in this time frame. If he's your fifth defenseman, then yeah, Shane Gostisbehere is probably not a guy you have to hang on to either.
Yeah, no, I love it. And it's important that we think about this stuff, right? Like, it's just like goalies. When you spend a lot of draft capital on a goalie, you're so hesitant to drop him, right? But what would you rather do? Like get something or get nothing? Right. Yeah. If DeBrincat's on your bench, you're getting nothing. Right. It doesn't matter where you drafted him. Right. So that's kind of the mentality that we have to have in these playoffs here in redraft leagues. Right. Like we got to be ruthless. And if you're sitting these guys and they're getting in for one game in a 3-game week, that's not good enough. Right. Go get someone who's going to play these off nights. All right. So there you go. I agree with all of that wholeheartedly. Let's move on to the Florida Panthers. Couple players here, Gustav Forsling and newcomer Vladdy Tarasenko. I think these are, you know, Forsling's had some nice play recently. Tarasenko has as well, although he's not really getting the ice time that I'd want, right? But he never does. So what are you doing with these two studs?
Yeah, this one's a little bit unique because Florida's nights that they play on are the Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. So those are 11 game and 10 game heavy nights. So you might actually be totally fine with these guys in your lineup. They might not really be causing you any grief in terms of filling up your bench or anything. So do check that out. But all that to say, like you have three days at the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where you could be using this roster spot for something else. And I'd totally investigate, you know, like I said, there's the one back-to-back. If you got a spot on the Tuesday, it's super heavy. But if you do have a spot on the Tuesday, then you could go Buffalo or you could go to Washington. And if you're getting like a low tier Washington guy, like a Connor McMichael or something like that for Monday, Wednesday, and then you can still get your Florida guy back. Like if you can do it on Monday, get the guy, and then your waivers run. If your waivers run on the Thursday, there are some leagues like that, then you could ostensibly get both games out of Connor McMichael and then get your Florida guy back on waivers if you have the priority or the fab or whatever it is in your league to do so. Like there's ways that you can kind of game this right a little bit because of the weird schedule that Florida has this upcoming week. So those are two guys where the schedule would really determine it for me if they're going to make it or not make it on my roster. I am not tied to the production that either of these guys have shown. Tarasenko's averaged 14 minutes. The underlying numbers have not been good, even though he's played a bunch with Barkov. I don't know how that's possible. I'm pretty sure I could play with Alexander Barkov and my underlying numbers would look pretty good. But I'm not tied to Tarasenko or Forsling despite their recent stretch.
Yep, agree with that. I think too, Forsling, like he's an underrated guy. You could drop him and pick him up and no one would be any of the wiser, right? To me, Tarasenko, because he did pop off that one game there, I think someone would probably be like, oh, Tarasenko, I got to get him. He's a 50 goal scorer 10 years ago. All right, now, I don't even know. That maybe five. I don't know. I have to look at the stats. Anywho, let's move on. We got to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, do we? Oh, yeah. And, you know, they got some pieces here, some names that I do not want to see on this list of fringe players. We got Cole Caufield and the professor, Mike Matheson. No! God, never would I drop Mike Matheson, all right? I'm putting my foot down on that. But we also got Nick Suzuki, and, you know, let's throw Juraj Slafkovský in there as well. Like, are these players that you are, you know, again, are they making your lineup?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the question, right? Like, who do you have that's not a streamer, that's not somebody that's getting you off nights, that you do have that you're potentially playing over these guys? Like, Caufield's underlying numbers still look pretty good. 12th in shots per 60 last five games. He's got 4 assists, still playing close to 20 minutes a night. Suzuki well over 21 minutes a night, but still the underlyings look good, don't look that great, and still he's putting up points. It he seems like Suzuki has like kind of sapped all of the efficiency out of Cole Caufield somehow. I'm not sure exactly what voodoo magic he's
rubbing off on
his line mate there. but yeah, he's got a 17% shooting percentage this year, and Cole Caufield's got a 7.5% shooting percentage, which is very uncharacteristic for Caufield throughout not only his NHL career, but even his younger days in various leagues. So, yeah, all that to say, Matheson I'm hanging on to. I don't think there's a way that I'm dropping Matheson. He's a stalwart in my mind, basically like a number two level defenseman on most fantasy teams. Suzuki and Caufield are close to the bubble. Slafkovský, I wouldn't think twice about.
Yeah, I love it. I think I'm keeping Caufield for sure. Matheson, no question. And then the other two bounce. All right. How about this? Mike Matheson, 58-point pace. Oh, my God. I projected him for that. I projected Mike Matheson for 57 points or 58 points. So I'm loving life. All right. That's a shot in the dark, but I'm taking it. All right. I'm taking the dub on that. Well, hopefully he gets it. Anyways. Okay, let's move on. We are getting long in the tooth. Let's talk Nashville. These are some players that I mentioned as well on my last show there, Nate. Ryan O'Reilly, Gustav Nyquist. We got Jeremy Lozon in here as well, but he's an easy drop. I mean, if you're in a banger league, then it becomes, I think you're holding on to Lozon in a banger league, unless there is a really move that you have to make, like someone drops someone silly and you have to pick him up. But to me, Lozon is a hold in a banger league, but easy drop in a points league, no question.
Yeah, I concur on Lozon. I threw him in there just for that purpose to talk about in a banger's cats. I can't imagine dropping Jeremy Lozon. He's probably like a top 50 player in banger's cats. Just like for
dropping Austin
dominance.
Matthews.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
Just for this sheer hits dominance. But for O'Reilly and Nyquist, I wouldn't think twice about it, quite honestly. They've both been productive as of late, but it does not matter to me. I think I would drop both these guys. They come back and they play all heavy nights again. In later in the playoffs, like they basically have no off nights at any point. So I don't think they're helping you that much. If they are those guys at the bottom of your roster if you're thinking about dropping them, you probably should drop them, I guess is where I'm going.
Yep. That's a good way to put that. I mean, you know, these are the type of guys that are going to piss you off, right? Because they're going to be on your bench and they're going to be productive, unfortunately, right? They're both on 70 point paces. Gus Nyquist, 70 point pace. Sheesh. You know, I didn't see that coming, but you know, it's not sustainable to me. Like, yeah, they're redlining and it's going to fall off at some point. Nashville's playing great, but I think those guys are both drops to me. Let's move on to the Rangers. We got to talk about Jacob Trouba, the mega beefer, Keandre Miller, and then our absolute favorite here, streamer, Alexis Lafreniere. How are you managing these players in your leagues, Nate?
Yeah, so Trouba is hopefully on your IR plus. Maybe if he's out there, like if you have very limited IR spots or something like that, and he's been dropped to free agency, maybe he's a player that you could actually add if you got the bye next week, and hopefully he's back. His time frame was like 2 to 3 weeks, so he could be coming back around week 24. Just something to monitor there with Jacob Trouba. The other two, honestly, Lafreniere has had a rough little go of it the last five games here. The metrics have fallen off in a big way. Just one assist his last five games. They have a few more mouths to feed now with Wenberg and Roslovic in town. Roslovic had himself a nice little game the other night. But yeah, basically Lafreniere, Roslovic, anybody below like the power play guys, right, that you were rostering on the Rangers, I'd be happy to drop.
drop them like it's lukewarm. All right. Moving on to the San Jose Sharks. This is a no-brainer. I mean, if you're holding San Jose Sharks currently, why? Can I just say that? Like, why? Are you okay? Do you need help? All right. Blink twice. But I mean, there are players that are viable on that team. There's no question, right? Like Mikael Granlund, Fabian Zetterlund, you know, to start. I mean, if you're in a bangers, maybe Mario Ferraro, but damn, no. I mean, these guys are all easy drops to me. Any difference of opinion there, Nate?
No, because you're looking at it for this week. They are running that 3-game 0-off nights. Then they come back the next week and they run another 3-game 0-off nights. I don't see how these guys are fitting into your lineup or producing much for you, even though they're both playing pretty well at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. St. Louis Blues, the next team. And again, players I talked about on my show, Jordan Kyrou, Pavel Buchnevich. I mentioned those guys as being players that I'm considering dropping. And Rob Thomas, you got to throw him in there as well. Like, none of them are playing well, but I mean, Thomas is the clear, you know, head of the pack there. The guy's still pacing for like 85 points or whatever it is. It's crazy. But I mean, what do you think of the top line there in St. Louis? And are these guys good enough to get into your lineup?
I do think they are in for a lot of people, but it is tough to hang on to somebody who's this cold. Yep. So, yeah, I would kind of relate this back into like an Alex DeBrincat territory where I feel like relatively confident that these are good players and that this is just a cold stretch. But yep. How long does the cold stretch take? Like, if you've got a bye till week 24, then it's a no-brainer. I'm keeping them on my roster because they could easily turn it around by then and be – yeah, just lighten things up in week 24. If you've got them next week, then it's a little bit harder. Like, they could legitimately be guys you're thinking about benching those nights. And if that's where you're at, then that's where you're at. They play Colorado, Ottawa, and Minnesota next week. That's probably a middle of the road schedule overall. So I don't have a strong take on it. Like, I wouldn't fault you for doing it, but it's something I'm not like going out of my way to do, I guess.
There you go. How would you rank those three?
Oh, you got to make it even tougher, don't you? I guess I would probably have to keep Thomas at the top. He gets just all the ice time in the world.
He just does it, yeah.
Yeah. Then I'd probably go Buchnevich. He's just been a little bit more consistent than Kyrou. Kyrou has really struggled to just shoot. Like, the shots are there, but the shooting percentage has been really tough this year. It does seem like he's just lost a little bit of that touch. He's typically been an efficient shooter, and this year he just hasn't been at any point really throughout the season. And so, like DeBrincat, I kind of feel like Kyrou is in that range where it might just be one of those years where the pucks are not going in for him. And at this time, when all the goals, all the pucks going in really matters, that is something that I'm like, I don't know if it's like a 5% weight in the back of my head that I'm giving it, but it's not nothing.
Yep. Absolutely. It's good conversation, right? Like, that's all we're trying to get you all to do is just have a thought and, you know, got to have some perspective on your roster and think ahead, right? Like, we've done it this far. We got to go the extra mile and make sure that we're making the right decisions here. So we're just trying to keep you informed, folks. All right. You can throw Justin Falk in there as well as a player that could maybe just be bounced. I think he is getting power play one, I think, currently. And he, you know, he's a beefer as well, but not enough to hold if he's on your bench. Okay. Let's move over to Vancouver. This is an interesting one for me. Elias Lindholm is a player that I find myself targeting right now. And to be fair, like, I do have a bye in two spots for this upcoming week. So I'm not concerned about Vancouver's schedule, which is, you know, 3-game 0-off nights, right? So to me, yeah, Lindholm could be a drop certainly for this week. Probably should be a drop anyway. I'm not saying this guy's amazing, but like, this to me is a player that I've targeted for the off nights for weeks 24 through to 26, basically. Vancouver does have some good off nights. And to me, he's the premier streamer on that team, right? Or Connor Garland, depending if he's getting power play one. But to me, Lindholm is a player that I've seen dropped and I've picked up in three spots, right? Just trying to prepare myself for the playoffs. So, you know, but he's on this list, right? We've got Lindholm. We've got Philip Hronek, right? Who's been really cold as of late, making bonehead plays too. And then, you know, we got to throw Brock Besser on there. All right. You know, it hasn't been a great stretch of hockey for the Canucks. They're getting it done for the most part. They just had a stinky game against Colorado there. But what do you think about Lindholm in particular, Nate, and just his streaming viability for the playoffs in general, and then these other two?
Yeah, Lindholm is a tough one because the underlying metrics are brutal. He's lost the deployment that made him the most exciting. I would not fault anyone for dropping him for week one of the playoffs. If you're in a position where you have a bye and you've got all those extra ads that you're not going to be using for any purpose other than to prepare for week 24 and beyond, then yeah, then you're looking at Vancouver has two off nights in week 24, and they are one of only two teams with two off nights in that week. So you should absolutely be interested in anyone with a pulse on Vancouver for week 24. So yeah, if that's your situation, if you got a bye for next week, but you're looking at week 24, then definitely Lindholm gains a lot more interest to me. If your playoffs don't start until week 24 and you're comfortably in the playoff picture, then that might be a player that you can pick up now and just see how the next week goes. Maybe it's a player that you end up dropping, but the potential payoff in terms of both the off nights and if he does move back up the lineup and does get more ice time and starts to turn things around is potentially really good. My worry with Lindholm is that this is just a repeat of the Timo Meier situation from last year, where for whatever reason, we don't know all the reasons for these things ever, but for whatever reason, it just does not work when a star player goes to a new team and he just cannot produce in the short time after being traded at the trade deadline. For the other guys, Brock Besser is a guy I'm holding. I'm not really considering dropping Brock Besser. I think you would have to have a pretty stacked lineup for you to be benching Brock Besser in any spot, especially as a right winger. Phil Hronek, though, is an interesting conversation. I would not fault anyone for dropping Phil Hronek. His underlying numbers haven't been terrific of late. His point pace has started to fall off a little bit. He's got only one assist in his last five. Phil Hronek is a player that I definitely would consider dropping. But again, if you can hang on, if he is not a problem, if you're only running 4D, then you can hang on to him and not take any hits in terms of the games played. And then you'll have him for that kind of more crucial week 24 with the two off nights. So that's my take on the Canucks.
There you go. Yeah, and just an aside here, I did see competing tweets here. Jeff Patterson for the Canucks mentioned that Lindholm was playing with Pettersson and Garland at even strength, which would be a nice little upgrade for him. But then Brendan Bassler came out and said that he's kind of back down with Connor Garland and Pod Colson on the third line. So who the heck knows? But I just feel like Lindholm is better suited on power play one as opposed to Garland. And I think that experiment is going to come to an end fairly soon. So that's my two cents on that as well. Last team, Vegas Golden Knights. Let's just get into it. Alex Petrangelo, Shea Theodore, and Noah Hanifin. The 3D. How are you ranking these players in terms of potential drops, Nate?
Yeah, I don't think I'm strongly considering dropping any of them. I don't think you have to hang on to Petrangelo or Hanifin. Theodore, as the power play guy there, is a player that I do think you have to hang on to. I think he's pretty comfortably making your lineup every single night.
Yep.
The Vegas Golden Knights do have a fairly strong week 24 schedule. They at least have the Monday off night and then followed up with the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday heavy nights. So you're definitely getting a Monday game for free out of these guys, and then you can kind of take it from there. But overall, Theodore, I think, is a no-brainer hold. The other two I'm probably holding, most likely. But if you have 5D and four of them are better than these guys, then well done. You're probably on your way to a championship anyway.
Yep, there you go. And keep in mind, too, like, Vegas does have a really good schedule from weeks 24 to 26. They got a ton of off nights. So just yeah, something to consider, right? If you're thinking about dropping Vegas players, maybe look somewhere else. All right. We took long enough on that, so we're going to get into the best teams to stream, or as Nate likes to call it when he's making a peanut butter sandwich, extra creamy, fresh, and streamy. All right, that's where we're going with that. All right, one clear winner of them all. All right, there can be only one, and it's Washington. All right, again, the Washington Capitals again. All right, they've got a 4-game, 3-off-night schedule, and you know, to make matters even better, they're just 1 point out of the wild card spot. So I think Washington has a ton to play for. It's a great time to be streaming in some of these players, and let's just dive into it. Like, some of the players we're looking at here, how about Wilson, Tom Wilson, Dylan Strome, Pacioretty, and Oshie? Talk to me, because those are the top four, and I think those four are all pretty damn viable in terms of streams for this week. How would you rank those, and how are you feeling about Washington overall just as a streaming team?
Yeah, they're very clearly the best streaming team for this week. Like even the one night that's not a heavy night, it's the Sunday, so it's the 10 game heavy night. So there's a pretty good chance you're getting all four games from a Washington stream, which is way better than anything else you're getting this week in terms of a week long stream. Of those guys, I'm still on Dylan Strome as the top guy from here. Right now, he's playing on what amounts to the second line with Tom Wilson and Ivan Myreshchenko. Almost completely botched that,
Gesundheit.
but
That's a sweet name.
yeah, that is quite a name for sure.
A lot
I
of
don't know how to
vowels in there.
talk, but yeah,
My
Dylan
last name's
Strome at the
Scream,
top.
for God's sake.
Dylan Strome at the top of the list. TJ Oshie would be my second guy, just because he's playing with Ovechkin essentially. And then Tom Wilson would be the third guy there, I think. That's pretty much how I'd rank it right now. And then, yeah, going further down the list, you get to like Pacioretty, and then McMichael is centering Ovechkin right now, so he becomes of some interest. But yeah, that's how I'd rank it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what do you think about Rasmus Sandin? Because I notice you left him off the list here, and I'm wondering if that was on purpose or it's just not someone you're interested in grabbing for this good streaming week here.
Yeah, Sandin has quite honestly been a pretty big disappointment in most regards this season. He's had every opportunity to step up and provide some offense. I mean, for fantasy purposes, right? That may very well be exactly what Washington has wanted out of him. They extended him, so it seems like they like him. But yeah, for fantasy purposes, Rasmus Sandin, I think, is DOA.
There you go. All right. You heard it here first, folks. Let's move on to the next best team here, which is going to be the Seattle Kraken. Release the Kraken all over week 23 and then clean it up later. All right. We don't leave a mess here. Four games played with two off nights. That's the second best thing you're going to get. And that's not amazing, but Seattle does have some options, but it's kind of a pick 'em, isn't it, Nate? Like we're looking at Adam Larsson, Jordan Eberle, the jerk store, Oliver Bjorkstrand, and then others. So talk to me about your favorite streamers on Seattle. Even there's guys I sort of drew attention to in my last show as well, which was Matty Beniers and Oliver Bjorkstrand, just being on that power play one, and then some recent production, if you can call it production, from Matty Beniers has got me, just kind of turning my head a little bit, just watching that player, especially in a good streaming week. What do you think about these players, Nate?
Yeah, it's again Seattle, right? So any stream could work out or it could be a complete dud depending on which line is getting, 16 minutes and which line is getting 13 minutes. So take it all with a grain of salt for sure. But right now I'm kind of into Jordan Eberle as the top guy in Seattle. He's got only two assists his last five, but he's ranked 96th in shots per 60. He's been skating almost 19 minutes a night, which is something you typically do not see out of Seattle forwards. So that part makes me a little bit more interested in him. It's all relative though. I'm not over the moon about any of these guys for sure, but I do think that Eberle with that deployment, and he's just been always that consistent streamer that you can grab and usually comes through with at least a couple points for you in a week like this. One other note I wanted to make about Seattle is that their schedule, they do avoid the Tuesday, which is that heaviest night, the 13 game heavy night. So even their heavy nights are on the 11 and the 10 game heavy nights. So actually a somewhat decent chance that you're getting four games out of your Seattle streamer as well this week. After Eberle, I'd go Bjorkstrand. He's got 4 points, 3 goals his last five. The underlying numbers are not super inspiring, I guess I would say, but they're not like atrocious either. So there is that. Tolvanen's numbers have actually been coming up a little bit as of late. He's been throwing the body around a bit more as well, and so that's got some interest for me. I'm not as into Matty Beniers as you are, despite the deployment. It's just been a rough year for him, and the underlying metrics are not there. Yanni Gourde scored some points as of late. He's got 4 points his last five, but the underlying metrics are atrocious. So I don't think you're looking at that too hard either, unless it's maybe a 14-team league.
Oh man, Godspeed if your week comes down to your Seattle streamers. All right. That's a coin flip. And oh God, that's fantasy hockey, isn't it, Nate?
Yes, it is.
Brutal stuff. All right. Let's move on to the next. There's three teams with a pretty decent schedule anyway next week. Four games played, one off night. All right. And they are the Buffalo Sabres, Carolina Hurricanes, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And some reasonable streamers to, on Buffalo specifically, in my opinion. But again, are you going to be able to get them in, right? Leading the list there, Bo Byram. He's had a nice little resurgence here in Buffalo, which I didn't really see coming. I thought for sure that, you know, he's going to a new team with, in a similar situation that, you know, they're going to bury him behind Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin. And that hasn't really been the case, has it, Nate?
No, it really hasn't. Kind of interesting. Obviously, I like Bo Byram, the player. I think he's exhibited a high level of talent and efficiency in his young career so far. That being said, like the way that he scored these points is through a ridiculous amount of efficiency. He's not been bad in the underlying numbers by any stretch, but he's not been elite either. So I don't think that he's going to be a point per game player for the rest of his tenure there in Buffalo, but you can't ignore the deployment. That is a really strong point in his favor at the moment.
Do you think he keeps power play one?
I think he keeps power play one as long as he keeps scoring points. So I guess my answer is no.
Jeez. All right. Well, that is semi-helpful, Nate. Thank you. We also got Owen Power here, who I think is a great streamer, actually, for Buffalo. They do have a nice schedule moving forward past this week as well. So I think guys like Byram and Power should be rostered, right? To me, it's a lot easier to get defensemen in than it is forwards. So yeah. I think these guys, if they're out there, they should probably be rostered. We're also looking at JG Paterka, who's had great stretches this year. You know, metrics-wise, he's put up some points. He's been a little bit cold lately. But I think he's a viable. And then Jordan Greenway. Talk to me about those three players, Power, Paterka, and Greenway, Nate.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement on Power just as a streamer. I mean, he's still playing, obviously, on the second power play unit. But that second power play unit has, like, Jeff Skinner, who's pretty good at scoring goals. So that's not nothing at this point. And he's still getting decent minutes. Yeah, in terms of Paterka, it's just somebody that we've always been interested in from time to time. Right now he's playing with Skinner and Krebs. Skinner, obviously a good player to play with if you want to score some points. Hasn't really come through for Paterka as of late, but definitely could be worse for him there. And then Greenway, he's just playing with Dylan Cousins at even strength, and that's not been a bad spot. Honestly, it's been probably the best player to play with the last little bit over in Buffalo. So that's why I threw in Greenway. He's got a couple of points last four games here, and the metrics haven't been truly terrible. He's a guy who, you know, he'll rumble around out there and do a few things. So he's not the worst streamer that you could pick up in like a 14 team.
Yep, absolutely agree. Some reasonable options there. Byram and Power to me being the most interesting. Over to Carolina. Again, four games played, one off night. We got to talk about Slavin Maven, Jacob Slavin. He's out there. How about the Eagle, Evgeny Kuznetsov? What the hell are we doing with this man?
Yeah, extra koozie. Looking pretty solid under the hood. Like, he's done a few things. He had a 5-hit night the other night,
which is pretty interesting.
Nice. 91st in shots per 60. I don't know if I've ever seen that number attached to Kuznetsov this year. So that's a good number to hit. Obviously, you're going to be a little bit up and down with the ice time in Carolina. But I think he'll take it, honestly. Like, he's on the top power play. He's playing with Jake Gensel, Martin Nietzsche at even strength. That's a good spot to be. I'm into it.
Yep, absolutely. That's a surprise, honestly. A pleasant surprise. All right, and then Stefan Nason as well. You can throw him in there as a guy that can do stuff, right? I mean, you know, he's an efficient player. He's, you know, he shoots occasionally, doesn't he? Yeah, actually, 25th overall in Chuck and Pucks, buddy. That's not bad, Stefan Nason, over the last five games. But, I mean, his ice time is garbage, right? So he's going to be lower down your list there with Carolina. Nothing could be finer. Let's move on to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And some, you know, the streamers have never been good on the Leafs, right? And that continues to be the case. We're looking at Jake McCabe, who I have in a full bangers league, which I'm, you know, pretty much not going to make the playoffs in. But it's not because of Jake McCabe. This man's been... he's been awesome, man. Just a great bangers league player who chips in with some points here and there. So, I mean, I like the player, actually, certainly for fantasies. He's got some bits and pieces. How about Maximus Domius and Tyler Bertuzzi, and throw Matthew Knies in there? Tell me about your boys, Nate. What are we doing with these players?
Yeah, I think the one that gives you some immediate interest is obviously Bertuzzi, especially if Marner's injury lingers on a little bit. The Leafs are probably gonna just kind of hold pace and coast into the playoffs from here, and so maybe they don't feel super motivated to rush Marner back and just let him heal up and make sure he's good for the playoffs. So if that's the case, then Bertuzzi would be the look. His metrics are not good, and he is definitely he's had like 2-game stretches. He's not really put together like 5-game-plus stretches, has Tyler Bertuzzi this year. Max Domi actually has 4 points his last five, but he's also just like feels like a really risky click at 14 minutes a night. Jake McCabe, yeah, really just there for the bangers. He's been absolutely throwing the body around as of late. Matthew Nyes, I feel like he's always brought up, and so I just want to mention him, but I'm not excited about Nyes, and he's kind of been moved around the lineup. The last game he played with Kampf and McMahon, which obviously is more of an energy line than anything else, so I'm not interested in Nyes really.
Oh, dang, he's saving it up for the playoffs. Buddy, what about Bobby McMahon? Oh, the hat trick wonder. This man's a legend. I'm into Bobby McCann. I mean, I don't know, just as a person, and a player, but not really for fantasy. But, shout out to Bobby McCann. Congratulations on your extension, my man. Giggity. We have talked a long time. I'm going to give you 2 more teams and then we move on. All right. Arizona and Dallas. They both play 3 games with 2 off nights, those coveted 2 off nights. So, Arizona, I'm going to give you some players. You talk to me who you're interested in here, Nate. We're looking at Lawson Crouse, Nicky Schmaltz, Logan Cooley, Nick the Jug Bjugstad, Matthias Michelli, and Dylan Genther. How are you prioritizing these players?
Yeah, so obviously, I'm going to say Nick Schmaltz. He's finally gotten hot. He's got 6 points his last five,
Bang.
playing on the top line, playing on the top power play. Things starting to go right finally for Schmaltzy. Love to see that. So he's definitely at the top of the list. Do you want to shout out Logan Cooley hitting 49th in shots per 60 the last little bit, 16 and a half minutes time on ice, 2 goals his last five. That's not nothing, but the other guy that I'd be the most interested in would be Dylan Genther. He's playing with Cooley at even strength, but he's playing on the top power play. So Genther would be the second option behind Schmaltz. Lawson Crouse has been a guy that people have been into for a lot of the season and has been a really good streamer in the past. Right now, he's ice cold. The metrics are awful. He has scored 0 points his last five. I'm not into Lawson Crouse at this moment.
Nick Bjugstad, Nate, come on! This man, I picked him up off waivers in the ANG Dynasty League, and just held him all year. I picked him up in like the first week. He's doing stuff. Oh man, this guy's on a freaking what is this? 46-point pace. Nick Bjugstad, thank you for your service. All right, let's move on to the last team, the Dallas Stars, and we're looking at Thomas Harley is on this list. All right, Tyler Seguin, Mason Marchment, put some stank on it. Oh, Logan Stankoven and that Viking Yanni Hakanpää. Tell me what you're doing with these legends.
Yeah, any of these guys would have some interest just for those off nights, to be honest with you. I honestly kind of think I'd take Stankoven as the top guy over any of these.
Love that.
The deployment between him and like Marchment is almost identical over the last 5 games, even though they play on different lines. So I think you're just flipping a coin there for better deployment. And Stankoven's numbers are legitimately better, and he plays with the best player on the Dallas Stars and Wyatt Johnston. So what's not to love?
Wyatt Johnston, man, this guy's awesome. Every time I check the box score on a Dallas game, I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I want to see. I'm all aboard the Wyatt Johnston train. I'm going to pass it off as my take as well, Nate. I hope I'm just saying that to you right now. All right.
Got it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Nate, tell us the best players to stream ranked by you.
All right, so obviously this is going to be a lot of Washington off the top because they really do have the best schedule and it's not close. Dylan Strome at the top, TJ Oshie would be my second guy for that proximity to Ovechkin, and then Tom Wilson falling behind there. And then I'm really evaluating it based on the off nights after that. And also, I will say, like we talked, Arizona, Dallas, 3 games, 2 off nights. The heavy night that they both have is that Sunday 10-game slate. So there's actually a decent chance you're getting 3 games there. So all that to say, I'm kind of assuming that you're only getting the off nights here for the purposes of this ranking. So I will go Nick Schmaltz at number 4, and then head over to Logan Stankoven. going back over to Seattle for Eberle, Bjorkstrand, and then rounding out with a couple of Washington guys, Pacioretty and McMichael. I have some passing interest, and then back to Logan Cooley at the bottom. You could say Logan Cooley, Dylan Genther. You could throw Nick Bjugstad in there. I'm not opposed to that.
Damn Skippy, you throw Nick Bjugstad in
there. I just have no faith whatsoever that he's not off that Nick Schmaltz, Clayton Keller line by like the second game next week. So that's the reason that I'm not as interested in Mr. Bjugstad. So what do you think about the list, Blake? Anything that you'd change up here?
No, not at all. I love that Logan Cooley's starting to shoot. That would be a nice part of his game if he can continue that on, or maybe he's just doing what Matias Michelli did for like 2 weeks in the season, and then the shot's going to fall off again. But yeah, there you go. Great list.
All right. Hits and blocks we'll run through quickly here. At the top of the list, Beck Malenstein, I'm not sure how to say it actually, from Washington. This guy hits for a living. Definitely tops the list if you need some hits. Tom Wilson does that as well, and obviously provides you some little bit of point potential as well, so maybe you want to look that way. Liam O'Brien from Arizona, Yanni Hackenpah from Dallas Stars, Will Borgen, Yanni Gord, Adam Larson, all from Seattle, all do that as well. Over on the block side, so obviously with some weight towards Washington here because of their schedule, Nick Jensen, Rasmus Sandin, I'm throwing up at the top, but then if you can fit every game in, I would definitely actually rather go with Adam Larson or Jamie Oleksiak for the blocks. Alex Kerfoot does this a little bit, and especially as of late, he has actually been blocking a ton. So that's a little nugget for you if you want some forward blocks, and then Asa Lindell from Dallas as well. Anything on the bangers here, Blake?
Yeah, I mean, if you want the best cross, you know, the guy that does both, we're looking at Adam Larson. That's a no-brainer to me for this week. He's going to be a great streamer, and he'll get you both those things in spades.
All right, let's move over. Best players to add for the future. So this segment is going to look a little different from here on out because there really is no future. The future is now, Blake. The future is here, and the future is now. So really, we're not looking at long-term plays anymore. And if you are thinking about long-term plays beyond like the next week of your fantasy hockey playoffs, I would caution you and tell you that you're probably doing it wrong. So right now, we're basically just looking at players from the best playoff schedule teams exclusively. That's all you should really be thinking about, is optimizing that playoff schedule throughout your playoffs. And if you need that playoff schedule, it is something that I've created a little sheet for. If you have not found it yet, then join the Apples and Geos Discord server. You'll be able to find it in there. You can tag me on social media and I'll make sure to send you a link. But definitely that's what you should be doing. You should be looking at who fits with your playoff schedule, and you should be targeting players only from those teams. I could tell you a whole list of a whole bunch of players, but it is going to be really team specific for you. So yeah, also I just want to caution people, try not to look past the next week too much. You got to win the first week to get to the second week and so on and so forth. I know it's tempting to say, oh, but I rolled through the regular season, I'm definitely not going to lose to this sixth place guy. But it happens every year. A lot can happen in a single week of fantasy hockey. Otherwise you'd have a perfect record on the season. So yeah, just take it all with a bit of a grain of salt and have some humility. Make sure that you get through week one before you start planning for week two too much. Let's roll over to goalies, because I do think goalies are something that's a little bit evergreen, and we need to be on top of this as we continually preach here in the Zero G Church. Charlie Lindgren at the top of the list. He's only 40% rostered still. He's been taking a clear more than 1A role, really a starter role there in Washington. And as you mentioned, Washington is in the hunt, and so I think they're just gonna ride him pretty hard here. Samuel Ersson is still gonna make this list. He's had a couple of rough starts, but he had a terrific start in between, so like I don't know exactly what to make of that, but overall I think he's just a guy who's gonna get a ton of volume, and I still think Philly's a decent team rest of season. Sam Montembeault has actually put together some decent games here, and he's gonna get, obviously with Jake Allen out of town, more games to play, so Montembeault also makes the list here. Then you go down below, 25% rostered, you got the Columbus tandem, Elvis Merzlikins, Daniil Tarasov. Thought it was kind of interesting. They really did hammer Merzlikins, even though he had the bad game. They went right back to him the next night, and he had a big bounce back game. So that's actually a little bit of a vote of confidence in my mind. I had thought that maybe they're just going to ride out with Tarasov. I know Josh mentioned that too in his pod there this week on Rolling Lines. But yeah, it could be Merzlikin. So it's one to watch for sure. I'm not sure that we're going to get a volume starter out of this either way, but definitely one to watch. And then Jake Allen, I think, has some interest for me still over in New Jersey. Your guess is as good as mine how this all shakes out with the New Jersey situation. But, I mean, he played the game against Dallas. He made 35 saves and only allowed 2 goals. And they won a game where they had lost the previous 2. So I don't know if there's anything that buys you the next game in net, then that should be it in my opinion. So we'll see what they do, but I think that there's at least a decent chance that Jake Allen is actually a pretty solid 0G option from here on out. Anything to add there, Blake?
I do. Casey DeSmith. All right. I think this man needs to be rostered. The Canucks have no reason to rush Demko back from any injury here. Right. And the Canucks have called up Archer Sylov, right? And he got pumped in his first NHL game. Like he's not going to get a bunch of starts. Casey DeSmith is going to be a legit number one. He's basically going to be Demko until Demko returns. Right. So he's going to have a shelf life, but until then, like Canucks are a good team and he's going to be their number one and he's 38% rostered. So I think DeSmith has to be added, with all those off nights as well. So there you go.
It's good, Ed. All right, let's head over to the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. Currently mired in a 10-10 tie. We will give a brief update on our current status. Not the most compelling week that we've had either. That makes back-to-back weeks so far. So hopefully our guys have a good weekend in store for us. But my Quentin Byfield has 9.5 points after 3 games played. Got a couple of assists for me tonight to salvage what had been a pretty putrid week to this point. He's got one more game to go. Blake has Alexis Lafreniere. He's got 7.25 kickoff points after 3 games played. He does have 2 more to go though. So he's got some runway there. We will see how it ends up and update you on Sunday. Now this week, Blake gets the first pick to choose the best streamer from this sorted list of characters. What are you going to do, Blake? Who's your pick for the head-to-head streamer deathmatch for week 23?
Oh, God. This is uninspiring, but you know what? I got to take the Duke of Earl. Anthony Duclair. All right. Big Dookie. All right. Turd Ferguson. That's where we're going with that. Duclair's been putting up some decent numbers. I actually checked into his metrics. This guy in the last 5 games, number 1 in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. All right. Nice. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Nate. Oh, what do you think?
I don't mind it. I like Duclair. I think he's found a good spot. I have another player that I've highlighted this week on Twitter and my players to watch. Because he's had some nice games there under the hood as well. So I don't hate that at all. I'm going to go back to old faithful. Dylan Strome never lets me down.
Oh, God.
No. Win every single time.
I can't be beaten by this man again.
I'm going to go back to the well one more time and hope it works out. All right. Well, if you got this far in the pod, you are clearly a fantasy hockey fiend. If you could do one thing for us, if you could like and subscribe this video, if you're listening on podcast, rating, review, all those things really help us out. And one more thing I do want to plug, get into those daily summaries that Mark Barber is posting on Twitter. It's just terrific stuff and will help you out in your fantasy hockey playoffs, will help you bring home those chips. Well, that's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Thanks to the band There There for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.